WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic ABC Media
News
app.
I'm Mike DeBusky. Two more former Proud Boys members have been sentenced for their part in the January 6th attacks on the Capitol. Dominic Pizzola, who was caught on video smashing a Capitol window with a stolen police shield, was sentenced to 10 years. Ethan Nordine, meanwhile, has tied the longest sentence so far.
Former member of the Proud Boys, Ethan Nordine, got an 18-year sentence as stiff a penalty as Oath Keepers leader Stuart Rhodes. The judge saying before he sentenced Nordine, if we don't have the peaceful transfer of power, I don't know what we have.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. Labor Day holiday travel is well underway. Janet Peterson at Burbank Airport says she's on her way to Dallas to catch up on family time she missed during the pandemic.
COVID very much affected the amount we've been able to spend as a family with our elders. So our plan is to just do that, be outside if it's not too hot.
TSA says they're expecting more than 14 million passengers this weekend. This is ABC News. In Ohio, newly released body camera video shows the moments leading up to police fatally shooting a pregnant mother of two in a supermarket parking lot. Officers were told Takaya Young was suspected of shoplifting. The encounter turned deadly when an officer in front of Young's car fired through the windshield as the car rolled toward him. ABC's Alex Prochet.
Young's grandmother is calling for action against the officer who fired.
It's just a family tragedy because the police just wanted to shoot an unarmed black pregnant female for no reason. It was just pitiful.
The police union here asking for patience.
Police work is dangerous and split-second decisions must be made. Officer makes a correct decision, he's hailed a hero. He makes the wrong decision, he's in prison or he's dead.
Blinden Township's police chief stating the case has been turned over to the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation.
Labor Day weekend is here, and so is some severe weather. Flood watches are in place for Las Vegas, and we're looking at another heat wave in the Midwest. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
Working hard is a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin. Some of the first labor unions formed here because of it. This Labor Day, join Earl Ingram as he hosts a special The Earl Ingram Show, live from 8 to 11 a.m. at Labor Fest in Milwaukee.
Many people don't work on Labor Day, and so all they know is it's a day off. As a person who spent 34 years in labor and was a union man, I know the value of that.
Earl and his guests will discuss how Wisconsin's labor-related legislation became a model for other states, along with what unions look like now.
I've seen us go from that 30% union membership to now in Wisconsin, somewhere around 12%.
A union-led parade meets up with festgoers on the Summerfest grounds at 11. Labor Fest is free and open to all. Join Earl Ingram live this Labor Day, Monday, September 4th, starting at 8 a.m. from Labor Fest in Milwaukee, only here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app. We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair at Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down, I help with other kiddie rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to Devil's Advocate. Matt Flynn Direct is sitting in for Mike Crute and Dom. They each have a well-deserved vacation day. I'm going to be running this show for the next 2 hours. Matt Flynn from Matt Flynn Direct. Coming statewide on Civic Media, our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And in the last hour, my good friend Todd Albo, one of the great hosts here at Civic Media, covered my show from 3 to 4. And at the very end, Todd and I were talking about an issue that's important to him, important to me, the issue of increasing threats against poll workers. Well, I want to build on that, and I want to bring something to your attention, very, very important. There was a case involving one of the January 6th assailants, insurrectionists, a guy named Brandon Fellows. And Brandon Fellows, he was representing himself, so I guess you could say in his representation of himself, he got up and there were outbursts. But it was a kangaroo court, it was a Nazi court, all that kind of thing. And the jury got scared. This is going beyond just poll workers. The jury got scared. Jurors are allowed to send notes to judges in these kinds of cases. And they sent him a handwritten note. They sent the judge a handwritten note. The jury did. And it said this, quote, this just happened in the last couple of days. We wanted to confirm that the defendant does not have any personal information on individual jurors. And that includes name, address, etc. The judge wrote a handwritten response. And in the response, he said, quote, both parties are given limited biographical information on prospective jurors at the outset of the trial. The court collects these sheets from the parties at the conclusion of the trial. That's not good enough. Let me tell you something. With the grand jurors in the indictment of Donald Trump by Fannie Willis in Atlanta, under Georgia law, Their names were published. Their names were published. Anybody could see them. The jurors in the January 6th Brandon Fellows trial didn't want their information published. Well, all of those jurors, all of those grand jurors in Atlanta are on the internet now with all of their personal information. You know how easy it is if you have somebody's name to find out their address, their phone number, through reverse directories, online, that kind of thing? Donald Trump has deliberately, ever since 2016, when he threatened Hillary Clinton, when he said, I hope the Second Amendment people take care of her. He said her bodyguard should be disarmed. He told his crowd, go ahead, you know, beat up these protesters and I'll pay your criminal legal fees. When Katie Tour, for Pete's sake, very nice person, at MSNBC was covering it. And that's Katie Tour. You know, she's part of that mainstream media, and they threatened her. She needed security to get to her car. That has been a tactic of Donald Trump that started in 2016, and it has not been seen, the threat of violence in our politics, since 1861 when Abraham Lincoln was elected. It has not been seen. It wasn't seen in Eisenhower, Roosevelt, Truman, Kennedy, Johnson, any of them, Carter, Reagan, Nick, any of them. Violence was never threatened. Violence is threatened now. It's also been threatened, of course, to healthcare workers, health inspectors during COVID. Many of them quit. Many of them quit. And I want to say this, when it comes to poll workers, which we discussed in the last segment, actually Todd Albaugh, my friend, discussed it, and we weighed in a little bit. The objective is to screw up our elections. The objective is to grind them to a halt. The objective is to scare folks into even being poll workers or jurors or witnesses. I mean, you know, much less prosecutors and judges. This idea of threat, this is an idea of threat from an autocratic right-wing crowd, was present in Germany, was present in Russia, it's present in Belarus, it's been present in a lot of places. Until the autocrat comes to power, and then he suppresses everybody. Now, with jurors, it's really especially important, witnesses and jurors, because witnesses are deterred from testifying. I'll tell you from experience here in Milwaukee County, and this is done not politically, but this is done by gangs in the inner city and the South Side. People are afraid to testify. Some of them have been killed. Some of their girlfriends have been killed. One of the biggest threats to criminal justice in Milwaukee right now, and I'm sure in a lot of other big cities, is just getting witnesses to testify, to getting people to serve as jurors. Because courtrooms are open and people can come in. Judges in some states, not Georgia, but some states, can protect the identities of the jurors. Let me tell you something. In New York, they did that. And you know what Donald Trump did? He filed a motion because he wanted the names of the jurors. The judge in the case involving Brandon Fellows, the January 6th insurrectionist, said, I collected all of the paper that we gave them with your names. Oh, great. But like they don't have cell phones back in their lawyer's office to take a picture of it. They don't have Xerox machines. They don't dictate it to a stenographer a sec. Give me a break. Give me a break. Go on the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, the comment I was going to make in the last hour is that Tommy Tuberville really should check to see if he actually had if he actually met the qualifications to be a voter in the state of Georgia when he ran for senator there, because if he didn't maintain that, he shouldn't actually be senator there and should be charged as voter fraud. And as far as all these threats come in, is what has to happen now is law enforcement needs to come down on both feet in any kinds of threats like this or physical violence. I mean, that any kinds of these threats, so they have to arrest. They start just to have to arrest these people first and foremost, and you charge them as quickly as possible, and you jail them as quickly as possible. You give them the right to a speedy trial, and these people are making a threat against poll workers, against jurors, or anything like that. Enough of this nonsense that people have to feel under threat on this kind of thing. It's just absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. I mean, it's different if you're a politician, and the only threat I've made to politicians is I hope they never get a good night's sleep because they're chased by the furies in their sleep and made to endure the punishments of Tantalus and Sisyphus. But I mean that for these clowns to actually be threatening people, there needs to be immediate and swift action against these people making these threats. And
I couldn't Mark, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm going to give you a little background, too. Previously, before Donald Trump, this had happened with the mafia and it happened with ISIS, jihadist fundamentalists. What they had to do in New York when they had a lot of those kinds of attacks, they designated one judge, a guy named Kevin Duffy. They got him a secure house in Connecticut for him and his family. FBI would escort his kids to school. And then what would happen? He would hear all the cases. He was under basically witness protection, even though he was a judge. Well, did you think that we would have to do this with the Republican Party, for Pete's sake? In the mafia, they had to do it with the Republican Party. Come on. Cindy, thank you very much. Cindy of Appleton, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Cindy?
Well, I agree with your last caller that they should prosecute these people and do something about the threats. But the problem is a lot of the law enforcement, you know, chiefs and police and sheriffs and all that are all MAGA people. They don't want to prosecute this stuff. They don't believe in it. They think that this is how it's supposed to be now. And that's the even sadder part. We have a police department that doesn't work for all of us anymore. They work for those, you know, kind of extreme people. And that's really the sad part of it all.
Yeah, Cindy, let me tell you, I have a slightly different opinion of most police. My great uncle was a police officer. My cousin was a police officer. I know a lot of police officers. They're very, very honest. By and large, most of them, the vast majority are very honest and they follow orders. And if the DA prosecutes somebody, they are going to follow through. For instance, here in Milwaukee, the threats coming from gangs who threaten witnesses and jurors and they don't show up. I mean, they think very appropriately, hey, is this worth my life? No, it's not worth my life. What we've got to do is restore a sense of order in our courts. And my point was simply this. In the past, we have done this with terrorists and the mafia. Why do we have to do it now with the Republican Party? This isn't the Republican Party I knew. This isn't the Republican Party of Eisenhower or Lee Dreyfus or Tommy Thompson. I mean, you know, I remember a time when I was the chairman of the Democratic Party. I was friends with a lot of the people in the Republican Party, and we differed on a lot of things. But, you know, there was a humor to it. There was no violence. Now what you have is Brandon Fellows, a January 6th defendant, one of the guys breaking into the windows and all that, is yelling about Nazis and all this in court and threatening people. And the jurors had to send a note. They had to send a note, a handwritten note. I've seen it, to the judge saying, this guy doesn't have our personal info, does he? And the judge went back and had to say, well, he has your names because I gave it to him. That judge, he didn't have to give him the names. In Georgia, some states you do. This is a federal judge. What you can do is you can say, I can disclose them to the lawyers. But the lawyers can't disclose them to a violent defendant because retrieving these pieces of paper does no good. When you release pieces of paper to a Donald Trump, what do you think, that he's not going to see it, for Pete's sake? I mean, come on. But Cindy, thanks a lot for the call. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. It's very, very important to prosecute all violence and threats. We're coming to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Working hard is a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin. Some of the first labor unions formed here because of it. This Labor Day, join Earl Ingram as he hosts a special The Earl Ingram Show, live from 8 to 11 a.m. at Labor Fest in Milwaukee.
Many people don't work on Labor Day, and so all they know is it's a day off. As a person who spent 34 years in labor and was a union man, I know the value of that.
Earl and his guests will discuss how Wisconsin's labor relations related legislation became a model for other states, along with what unions look like now.
I've seen us go from that 30% union membership to now in Wisconsin, somewhere around 12%.
A union-led parade meets up with festgoers on the Summerfest grounds at 11. Laborfest is free and open to all. Join Earl Ingram live this Labor Day, Monday, September 4th, starting at 8 a.m. from Laborfest in Milwaukee, only here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies, overnight with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 64. Southwest winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun again tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. Highs around 86. Lows level off around 70. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Dry with temps well above average Sunday and Monday, and highs in the mid-90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 63.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Love is a burning thing.
Welcome back to Devil's Advocate. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jean?
Hi, Matt. Thanks so much for the great show. As usual, I thought Mr. Alba just really did a great dedication to you, and he did a good job. I just wanted to say that, you know, everybody that is watching what's going on in our country, I think that we're all in shock, and we've never seen anything like this before. But, you know, these are terrorists. Let's just face it. They go after our military. They go after all the pillars of democracy. They're trying to steal elections. You know, they're promoting violence. You know, they're attacking America from the inside out, and they all should be held accountable, and especially in our state, too, when, you know, they're trying to get rid of a judge that was legally elected before she even listens to a case. I mean, this is outrageous. And I hope that people step up that legally can do something about this, because we need to put a stop to it, because it's destroying our country. And another bunch of people that the Republicans attack are also teachers and the education, right, and banning books. And, you know, right, I mean, they're attacking everything that's good in our country. Thank you, Matt, and you have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you, Jean. That was a great call, as always. I'm going to respond to that. We are going to do something about Janet Protasiewicz, but let's go to the next caller. Charles of Green Bay, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Charles?
Just a couple things. First of all, the Republican Party claims to be the party of law and order. First of all, they're not law and ordering. Second of all, they've got, you know, everybody that they want, you know, playing games. For example, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, you know, all these clowns. The thing is, you know, going to Janet Protasiewicz, she was elected by over 10% from her other candidate. Okay. What's the difference in stealing the election from Joe Biden, who won by whatever, 7 million votes or whatever it was, and Protasiewicz? There's no logic, right, to anything the Republican Party does. They are just absolutely, let's see what we can do. Oh, by the way, about this problem we're having with all these, you know, people doing violence and all this stuff. First of all, you got to shut the leader up. Now, I didn't say who the leader was, but it could be somebody with the initials of DT, or it could be KM, or it could be MM, you know, or it could be JJ, or RJ. You got a whole bunch of them there. Hey, you have yourself a great weekend, Matt. It's been
all right. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Charles. Excellent call. Yeah, let me bore down on that as we can the rest of the segment, and I may spill over to the next one. Janet Protasiewicz won by slightly over 10%. It was close to 11%. Now, Rebecca Bradley, remember, there are two Bradleys. There's Ann Walsh Bradley, and there's Rebecca Grassl Bradley. Ann Walsh Bradley is an outstanding justice. She's up for election again next year. We support her 100%. Rebecca Grassl Bradley was one of the three judges that voted not to certify Joe Biden. She's an election denier. She's attacked Janet Protasiewicz and said, oh, you got to recuse yourself from the Fair Maps case. Well, there's a group called the Badger Project. It's a nonpartisan, citizen-supported journalism nonprofit. It's an excellent group. And they put out some facts, and we've talked about this issue before, but I want to put this out in spades right now. In 2017, a group of retired judges asked the Supreme Court to ban justices from ruling on cases involving an individual and organization that had donated to the justice. 5-2, all four conservatives and one other, they killed the proposal. Ziegler, and Annette Ziegler is one of them, but Rebecca Grassl Bradley too. Both of them poo-pooed it. They said it's a violation of the First Amendment. It's unconstitutional, violates the state and federal constitutions, blah, blah, blah. They killed it. Now, Rebecca Grassl Bradley is coming around, popping up out of the tall grass and saying, no, but it does apply to Protasiewicz. Well, now, wait a minute. First of all, Protasiewicz has said, I won't hear any case where the Democratic Party is a party. I won't do it. And good for her. I mean, she said that and she meant it. And that is not what Rebecca Grassl Bradley did or the other when the Republican people were involved. But OK, but then she said, I'm not going to recuse myself from a thing having to do with maps. And here's the deal. Rebecca Grassl Bradley several years ago said the maps are just fine. She wants to sit on them. This fellow Kelly, who ran against Protasiewicz, said, I wouldn't touch the maps. They look great. Nobody said anything about him. But now, because it's Protasiewicz, they want to attack her. It's not going to work because the Supreme Court precedent is that the other justices can't require anybody to accuse themselves. The danger is that Voss and the Republicans are now saying that they want to impeach her, even though, now listen to this, even though she hasn't even ruled on a case and done nothing wrong. Well, let's take a quick look at the statute. The statute says that the assembly may impeach an elected official by a majority vote in specific reasons, for specific reasons, colon, corrupt conduct in office or for the commission of a crime or misdemeanor. Hey, I got news for Voss. Janet Protasiewicz has never committed a crime or a misdemeanor. She's very, very honest. One of the most honest people I know. She's not guilty of corrupt conduct. She's not guilty of any conduct because she has been on the thing about a month. She hasn't heard any cases. So if they try that, the Supreme Court should simply say that's an illegitimate impeachment and not even react to it at all. Not even react to it at all. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire, and it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Two more former Proud Boys members have been sentenced for their part in the January 6th attacks on the Capitol. Dominic Pizzola, who was caught on video smashing a Capitol window with a stolen police shield, was sentenced to 10 years. Ethan Nordeen, meanwhile, has tied the longest sentence so far.
Former member of the Proud Boys, Ethan Nordeen, got an 18-year sentence, as stiff a penalty as Oath Keepers leader Stuart Rhodes. The judge saying before he sentenced Nordeen, if we don't have the peaceful transfer of power, I don't know what we have.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. Labor Day holiday travel is well underway. Janet Peterson at Burbank Airport says she's on her way to Dallas to catch up on family time she missed during the pandemic.
COVID very much affected the amount we've been able to spend as a family with our elders. So our plan is to just do that, be outside if it's not too hot.
TSA says they're expecting more than 14 million passengers this weekend. This is ABC News.
Working hard is a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin. Some of the first labor unions formed here because of it. This Labor Day, join Earl Ingram as he hosts a special The Earl Ingram Show live from 8 to 11 a.m. at Labor Fest in Milwaukee.
Many people don't work on Labor Day, and so all they know is it's a day off. As a person who spent 34 years in labor and was a union man, I know the value of that.
Earl and his guests will discuss how Wisconsin's labor-related legislation became a model for other states, along with what unions look like now.
I've seen us go from that 30% union membership to now in Wisconsin, somewhere around 12%.
A union-led parade meets up with festgoers on the Summerfest grounds at 11. Labor Fest is free and open to all. Join Earl Ingram live this Labor Day, Monday, September 4th, starting at 8 a.m. from Labor Fest in Milwaukee, only here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app. We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair at Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down, I help with other kiddie rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jack. What's in your mind today?
Well, first of all, I have a deal for those Republicans who want to impeach Judge Protasiewicz. Let her recuse herself, but only if Hagedorn, who apparently had a hand originally in designing these maps, recuses himself too, because he's got at least as much of a commitment there as she does. No, that's not what I actually called about. I was calling about the violence in our political system, And there's no doubt that politicians, specifically Republican politicians, have encouraged the violence and threats of violence we see. They've made such things as statements, you know, I can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not lose any voters. And the same guy telling his audience, beat up protesters. And others publishing, for instance, cartoon animations of the murder of some of their Democratic colleagues. I think it's more complicated than that. Between the six venomous Supreme Court snakes who keep undermining our gun safety legislation and the state legislators who give concealed carry, permitless carry, open carry, stand your ground, those are laws. Some of those who kill unarmed people, and they claim it was because they felt threatened. They've actually been exonerated in the courts, and you've read about that, so have I. And right. When others see no consequences in such cases, they're going to feel violence is okay. I think that is a factor in this.
Right. And, you know, you were referring, that was very interesting, you were referring to that, it was sort of a video or a some kind of a thing where Paul Gosar of Arizona put out, it was one of these Japanese anime things, and in it, he killed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, killed her, and he also attacked and injured Joe Biden. I got to tell you something. When they start threatening poll workers and all this, it's disgusting and terrible. But the law, if you threaten the president of the United States, that's a felony, and they enforce that really hard. I am amazed that Gosar putting out a Japanese anime video and of him attacking Joe Biden did not get prosecuted. I think that they were afraid he's a congressman, blah, blah. I'm tired of these people. I'm very tired of them. Some of them try to circumvent. There was a metal detector. Nancy Pelosi didn't want guns on the floor. They walked around the metal detector. Several of them pulled them out. It was disgusting. Yeah, Jack, thanks a lot for calling out. Adrian of Madison, my friend, you're next. Thanks for calling, Adrian. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, on the subject of the specter of violence in our electoral system, one thing that's clear to me is that Donald Trump views winning the upcoming election as his only means of avoiding imprisonment. And therefore, he's going to pull out all the stops to try and avoid losing the election. And that includes calling on his supporters to endorse and enact another violent January 6th type scenario. And also, obviously, they're going to try another fake elector scam. But I just think the public needs to be aware that Donald Trump and his supporters are just they're going to stop at nothing to win this election.
Right. No. You hit the nail on the head. He's on a revenge tour and he's on a get out of jail free tour. That's all it is. And you know who helped him out was this Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the judge down in Mar-a-Lago, who held up the initial investigation of the stolen classified documents, which, by the way, and I'll say it on this show as I always have on my own, by the way, they were kept in bathrooms and unlocked storage facilities, towel rooms, and this and that and the other thing. Did you know that right after that happened for a year, there was a sad spike in our undercover agents in Russia and elsewhere around the world who were captured and executed? There's no doubt in my mind that Donald Trump did that not because he was sloppy or because he's a hoarder. He did it to give access to the Russians, the Saudi Arabians, and then also, by the way, the Chinese and the Iranians got it as well. This guy is a traitor to the United States.
That's treason
there. Yeah, no, it is. And it is treason. And the truth of the matter is, it's not only is it treason, but it resulted in the deaths of people. And he is, for the first time since the 1860s, injected violence back into our system. We have got to stand up against it. Thanks a lot for calling, Adrian. Excellent call. Bill of Shorewood, my friend, thank you for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill?
Hi, Matt. I want to expand on what ABC News just broadcast during your break about this great jobs report that has just come in. It's great in a number of respects. 187,000 jobs added during August, and but it's also very important to realize that this represents 32 straight months of job growth. It's slowing down just as the inflation-fighting Fed would have it do. And so that is very consistent with the so-called soft landing that
right,
we all want.
Right. Bill, and thanks a lot for calling. Thanks a lot for calling in. The I'd like a little bit of good news, and you just gave it to us. We're talking about violence and a lot of other things. But one thing, we take the eye off the ball. All of our discussions tend to be Donald Trump and his treachery and this, that, and the other thing. At some point, he sucks all the oxygen out of the room and he gets too much name recognition. The reason to vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump, it's a lot of things, and we talk about them a lot on the show. But Bill O'Shorewood just made an excellent point. The jobs report did just come out, 7,000 jobs. Unemployment is 3.8. It's still below 4%. Over time, it's been the lowest since 1969. Joe Biden has recaptured all of the jobs that were lost from the pandemic and a million more. All of the jobs lost in the pandemic and a million more. And let me tell you another statistic, and this one blew me away. There are only two presidents in American history, since we started keeping records, that at the end of their presidency, there were fewer jobs than when they started, because population goes up, jobs get created. And the two of them, one of them is Donald Trump, and I assume the other one was Herbert Hoover. I mean, the Depression happened right after that. The Republicans can't be trusted with money. Some steal it, some waste it, and some are swindled out of it. Scott Walker was swindled out of it in the Foxconn deal. Scott Walker turned down $1 billion in Medicaid money that was our money, and then it just went to other states because he wouldn't take it. But then what he did was he billed us again for it, and he used taxpayer money to make up the difference. He said he was a conservative. What do you mean he's a conservative? What kind of conservative is that? He turned down $1 billion for trains. It would have connected Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, Eau Claire, and eventually the Twin Cities. Terrific. You know, we don't get much money in this state. We don't have Navy bases like they do in Florida and South Carolina. We don't have space stations. We got nothing from the federal government except thank you. Well, but we're hardworking. We say you're welcome. We suddenly get $1 billion for trains. I don't want to get all into this. I just want to say this. That was very good news from Bill O'Shorewood. Jobs, jobs, jobs. If you are in doubt as to who to vote for in this coming election, think about it. Think about it long and hard. We just reelected a senator, unfortunately, Ron Johnson, who has advocated sunsetting Social Security and revoting on it every year. Yeah, that's right. And Scott, the guy is the senator from Florida, said, no, it should be sunsetted every 5 years. Oh, great. Social Security, Medicare. Do you really think that Ron Johnson thought that we could vote on Social Security and reinstate it every year when we can't even agree on a continuing resolution to keep the government open beyond September 30? Give me a break. If you vote Republican, you vote for people who can't handle money. They can't be around money. They're not all crooks. Believe me, they're not all crooks. Some of them, though, get swindled. Some of them waste it, and some of them just devote it to their donors in tax cuts that are heavily weighted to the top 1-2%. So don't get me started. Thank you for the good news, Bill O'Shorewood. We want to get back to some, sadly, perhaps bad news. Glenn Beck, remember him? What a guy. Glenn Beck interviewed Trump just now. Glenn Beck, right-wing nut. And here's a question he posed. You know, we're talking about violence. Here's a question he posed. He goes, quote, you yelled, lock her up in 2016, Mr. Trump. Do you now regret not locking her up? Talking about Hillary Clinton. He's talking about his opponent. Quote, you yelled, lock her up in 2016, Mr. Trump. Do you now regret not locking Hillary Clinton up? And here's Trump's response. Quote, the answer is you have no choice, because they're doing it to us, end quote. Are you kidding me? He's talking about the January 6th defendants. He's talking, you know, the insurrectionists. He's talking about the 19 felony defendants in Atlanta. He's talking about him. He's talking about him. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about the Attorney General of Michigan is prosecuting the fake electors. The DA of Fulton County, Atlanta, is prosecuting 19 of them. That's only a DA. Jack Smith is prosecuting Donald Trump for the Green Bay sweep, for the fake elector, the whole bit. I got to say this again. Wisconsin, Josh, prosecute the state electors. We have 10 of them. Prosecute every one of them. Prosecute Ron Johnson because he had the fake electors in his pocket. He had the fake electors in his pocket from Michigan. And according to paragraph 101 of the federal indictment by Jack Smith, he also had the Wisconsin electors in his pocket, the fake ones. Paragraph 64 of Fannie Willis's complaint, prosecution against 19 criminal, they're criminal defendants until they're not criminals till they're proven guilty. But there's a lot of stench coming out of that, the facts. She cites a meeting in Wisconsin as part of the RICO charge down there that includes the present chairman of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. He's not a defendant. I want to make that clear. But there's plenty to go on in prosecuting the fake electors in this state, including the 10, Ron Johnson, Voss for setting up the hearing and then trying to conceal it. And take a good look at Fitzgerald. Take a good look at him. Get him before a John Doe or a grand jury and find out what, and get them all. And, you know, you want a little violence? I don't, but I'm going to give you a little violence right now. This is very sad. This is dribbled down to the state level. The Alabama Attorney General, the guy named Steve Marshall, all right? He's the Alabama Attorney General. He just said, we are going to prosecute people who help women travel out of state to get an abortion as part of a criminal conspiracy, end quote. Let me repeat that. Steve Marshall, Alabama Attorney General, just said, quote, we will prosecute people who help women, what, give them bus fare, drive them over a state line, who help women travel out of state to get an abortion as part of a criminal conspiracy. Right now in states like Alabama, states like Oklahoma, state like Texas, because of the Dobbs decision, 5-4, by the way, it was only 5-4. And Clarence Thomas, the guy who takes money, was the swing vote. Right now, if a woman in one of those states has an ectopic pregnancy, her lawyer, her doctor says, you're going to get sepsis. You may get sepsis. You could die. And there's a lot of health concerns here. Now she will be prosecuted for going out of state. Out of state. That is unconstitutional. This is the kind of violence threatened, Trump threatening to lock them up again because they're locking him up. This has got to stop. This has got to stop. And the truth of the matter is, these people have to be prosecuted. We need much tougher prosecutions of threateners of our political system. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. She's got a ticket to ride. She don't care.
Working hard is a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin. Some of the first labor unions formed here because of it. This Labor Day, join Earl Ingram as he hosts a special The Earl Ingram Show live from 8 to 11 a.m. at Labor Fest in Milwaukee.
Many people don't work on Labor Day, and so all they know is it's a day off. As a person who spent 34 years in labor and was a union man, I know the value of that.
Earl and his guests will discuss how Wisconsin's labor-related legislation became a model for other states, along with what unions look like now.
I've seen us go from that 30% union membership to now in Wisconsin, somewhere around 12%.
A union-led parade meets up with festgoers on the Summerfest grounds at 11. Laborfest is free and open to all. Join Earl Ingram live this Labor Day, Monday, September 4th, starting at 8 a.m. from Laborfest in Milwaukee, only here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy overnight with a slight chance for scattered showers. Lows around 63. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 86. Lows around 70. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies and quiet. Dry with temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday, and highs in the mid-90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 63.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to Devil's Advocate with Matt Flynn, direct as guest host. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. All right, let's throw out a little good news. Some good Republicans. There are some. You know that Liz Cheney is. You know Adam Kinzinger is. You know you have a handful who are. I was pleasantly surprised. We have to do this in moderation. I was pleasantly surprised that down in Georgia, two of the top-ranking Republicans in the state, probably the two top-ranking Republicans, have very forcefully shot down the Republican attack on Fannie Willis in Georgia. Let's review the bidding here. Remember what happened. The minute Fannie Willis realized she let out signals that she might be prosecuting Donald Trump, they passed a law. The law said that there would be a judicial commission that could at any time simply yank a district attorney. And they put in a lot of baloney. You know, they said, well, if they're not doing their job, if they do something wrong or they're neglecting their duties. And the ostensible reason they gave for, and they said, we're thinking of yanking Fannie Willis. Why are they thinking of yanking Fannie Willis? Because she does not prosecute marijuana cases, possession. I'm not talking about cartels. She prosecutes a lot of drug cases and gang cases. But like individual possession by somebody of a small amount, she doesn't. And also she does not prosecute doctors who are OBGYNs who provide medical care to women. If someone in the Republican Party doesn't like it, oh, we got to get rid of her. We got to get rid of her. It was all a scam. We know it was a scam. Well, just now, two very favorable things. And I want to say this because this show and a lot of shows of Civic Media are listened to by independents and by Republicans. And I'm glad about that. We need two parties in this country. We need a center-right party and a center-left party. We need them. We need a good center-right party, the Republican Party. Republican Party's name has basically been hijacked by people who are fascists. It's a fascist cult of Trump. Now, in Georgia, the governor, Brian Kemp is the governor. And I was not for him. I was for Stacey. She's terrific. She didn't make it. But he just put out a statement and he was pretty dismissive. He said, quote, there's no evidence that there is any action or lack thereof by Fannie Willis to justify an action by the Oversight Commission. Read, they can't yank her to justify an action by this Judicial Oversight Commission. As long as I am governor, this is what he says, we're going to follow the law and the Constitution, regardless of who it helps or harms politically. I'm going to read that again. This is Governor Brian Kemp, a very conservative Republican. Trump is on his case because he wouldn't overturn the election in Georgia, said that Biden had won. Here's what Brian Kemp just said about Fannie Willis. Quote, no evidence. There's no evidence that there is any action or lack thereof by Fannie Willis to justify an action by the Oversight Commission, which means yanking her. As long as I am governor, we're going to follow the law and the Constitution, regardless of who it helps or harms politically. Now, outstanding. But there's another guy who I'd never heard of before, and this blew me away because I pictured all of them down there basically picking their teeth with a Bowie knife and, you know, ready to sink it into somebody. This is from their House Speaker, a guy named John Burns, House Speaker. And here's what he says, Republican, House Speaker. Quote, calls to defund, because this is the other thing. They would say, well, let's just cut off her salary and all her investigators and all that. Quote, calls to defund Fannie Willis's office flaunts the idea of separation of powers, if not outright violates it. We continue to have a few members of the General Assembly. These are all Republicans he's talking about. We continue to have a few members of the General Assembly making misleading or false claims about the General Assembly's lawful powers regarding an ongoing criminal case before our judiciary. That is powerful stuff. This is from this John Burns. Calls to defund Willis's office flaunt the idea of separation of powers, if not outright violate it. We continue to have a few members, read Republican members of his caucus, of the General Assembly making misleading or false claims about the General Assembly's lawful powers regarding an ongoing criminal case before our judiciary. I'll tell you two things. Did you ever hear Robin Voss say that? There are people in my own gerrymandered Republican caucus who have been making misleading or false claims. Are you kidding me? He's making misleading and false claims. He's part of the problem in this state. Apparently in Georgia, they have a speaker who thinks for himself. And the second thing I want to say is, remember, the Congress of the United States under Kevin McCarthy, there is now a resolution and there may end up being legislation proposed to defund Jack Smith, to defund the Department of Justice, to defund anybody they can get their hands on. They're in Congress. This guy's an assemblyman, albeit the speaker. And he goes, we continue to have a few members of the General Assembly making misleading or false claims about the General Assembly's lawful powers regarding an ongoing criminal case before our judiciary. And calls on to defund her flaunt the idea of separation of powers. Hey, Burns, why don't you get yourself elected to a Republican seat in the Congress in Georgia and go up to Washington, D.C., and tell that to Kevin McCarthy. Tell that to the Freedom Caucus. Tell that to the fascists and the Republican caucus up there. You're right, Burns. You're right. And good for you. But that is something I want to say. Much of my show every day and much of a lot of people's shows has been pointing out the threat to our democracy. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. It creeps in one decision at a time, one judicial decision at a time, one vote at a time, one speech at a time, one act of violence at a time. It creeps in on little cat's feet. Well, that means accentuating and talking about what Donald Trump is doing and what the Republican caucus is doing. This is an example of a Republican caucus and leadership in one of the reddest of states, Georgia, one of the reddest of states, who are doing the right thing in this instance. They have shut down the attempt to yank Fannie Willis. And that's more important than we can ever really appreciate, because the Republican Party is not unanimous. It's not monolithic. It's not monolithically violent, fraudulent, crooked, and treacherous. A lot of them are, Trump is, but a lot of them aren't. And I want to salute them and say, take back your party. We need a good center-right party. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Change your mind, it seems. Someone else will hold my dreams of white.
Hard is a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin. Some of the first labor unions formed here because of it. This Labor Day, join Earl Ingram as he hosts a special The Earl Ingram Show live from 8 to 11 a.m. at Labor Fest in Milwaukee.
Many people don't work on Labor Day, and so all they know is it's a day off. As a person who spent 34 years in labor and was a union man, I know the value of that.
Earl and his guests will discuss how Wisconsin's labor-related legislation became a model for other states, along with what unions look like now.
I've seen us go from that 30% union membership to now in Wisconsin, somewhere around 12%.
A union-led parade meets up with festgoers on the Summerfest grounds at 11. Labor Fest is free and open to all. Join Earl Ingram live this Labor Day, Monday, September 4th, starting at 8 a.m. from Labor Fest in Milwaukee, only here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. I'm